All right. Before I get started, how'd y'all enjoy last week? Good. All right. Praise God. So I want to share just a brief 2 or 3 minute, may turn into 45, I don't know, about an experience I had at the retreat. So, like I said, I've been in the counter since it started, and so I went into last year's retreat. You kind of do something over and over, and your expectation kind of changes. And I went in, and God did something in my life last year that has changed my trajectory forever. And He dealt with something in my life. You know, one of the things that I've been taught, and I really try to operate in, is humility, because I've lived a prideful life, and I see where it landed me, and landed me in a lot of heartache and a lot of hard times in my life. And so one of the things that I have really was instilled in me that I really worked toward is having a humble heart, because I've seen Jesus do it. And somewhere in my journey leading up to the retreat last year, I began to create a sense of pride that I didn't recognize. And I haven't shared this with a lot of people. I'm transparent. I'll share way too much with y'all before this is over with, but that's okay. And God dealt with something in my life that was coming. It was approaching. It hadn't taken a hold of me yet, but I had two individuals speak something very powerful into me that broke my heart. And I had to go and reflect on myself of something that I took pride in, of being not prideful, and I was allowing pride in an area of my life that was beginning to affect my ministry, it's beginning to affect my family, and I didn't even recognize it. And so as this thing got spoken to me, I spent some time with the Lord, and I said, Lord, I said, because at the retreat, you'll have plenty of time to talk to God. I said, God, I said, what is it that you're showing me? And He showed me this very specific. He said, I love you enough that if you'll deal with this now, it's going to keep you from having to deal it down the road. And if you'll deal with it now, the impact won't be near as bad. But if you don't deal with this in your heart now, Justin, when you get to where you're going, on the trajectory which you're going, it's going to take you a whole lot longer to get you to where I'm taking you. And He spoke that into me, and God broke me in that instant, and I became like a kid again. And I say that to say that this, the experience of the retreat, of the encounter retreat, is unique to everybody, no matter how many times you go through it. That's the way encounters with God are, period. When we encounter God, we'll encounter God. I pray and hope that I encounter God for eternity. And each one of them will be unique, and they'll change us in a different way. And God showed up at that retreat with me as a leader. I'm on the leadership team as a leader, and changed my life forever. And recreated and redesigned something in my heart that He had put there from the beginning that I tried to take control of. And I can tell you, I can look back now and see the destruction God saved me from. And all it took, we talked about this last week, I had to be willing. You're going to get the opportunity to be willing to do a lot of things for God through this process. And if you do, it'll change your life in eternity forever. The retreat has changed me multiple times, but I can honestly say the last one I went through, the fourth or fifth one I've been involved in, now I've been involved more than that, God showed up in a mighty, mighty way and did something for me that has changed me forever. And I'm expecting the same thing, not just for myself in the upcoming one, but I'm expecting the same thing for each and every one of y'all. It's powerful. It's a God-designed thing for His children to draw us closer to Him. And that's beautiful. Thank you. Zane.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you. Good job, man. That was really powerful. And when we start off these sessions, you're going to hear a lot of people come up and share their experience there, because I guarantee you every single person that's hosting these tables have come from not only different walks of life, but somebody that's here has come from your walk of life. They know what you're going through, and they've experienced some of the things you've experienced, and they've even experienced that retreat and this whole process, and they know what's ahead for you. So the next person to talk about that real quick, got to admit something to y'all. This person is a big obstacle in my life sometimes, especially in church. I'm listening to Pastor Jeremy, listening to the whole message, and now I look across at me and I do a double take. I say, yeah, she's mine. She distracts me quite a bit in church, but even when she doesn't try to. But she's going to share something really powerful with you on what happened for her during the retreat. If you can, welcome my lovely wife, Danae Adams.
Well, my name is Danae, and as you listen to these testimonies, like Zane said, you're going to hear from people from every walk of life. Me, myself, I've gone to church my whole life. I don't remember not going to church. But when I heard about Encounter, I was just hungry for something more. I felt a little dry. My ground was dry. We were serving. We were serving God. We were tithing, doing everything we were supposed to do. But there was just something missing. And we went through the whole process. And when we got to the first retreat, there's nothing else like it. How many opportunities do you get to just cut off from the world and focus on you and your Father? You don't. There's something special about remaining in Him like He remains in you. And I just beseech you, take these steps. Go to the retreat, because there's so much for you. I myself have always struggled with confidence, feeling less than others, comparing myself to strong people of faith that I see, and thinking, my testimony's not enough. That's not going to affect anybody. But at that first retreat, we were having quiet time where we were journaling what God would say to me and you. And He said, Danae, I need you to step out of the shadows. I need you to get out from behind the, I guess I always saw myself as somebody who sets up the lights and everything. He said, you need to be forefront because you have a story to tell. You're able to reach people that you never thought you could. And each and every, this will be my fourth retreat to go to. Each and every time, that confidence blooms in me even more. He shows me who I am to Him and not my own preconceived inabilities and insufficiencies. He says, Danae, you are enough. Danae, you are worthy. And you have a story to tell. And y'all have a story to tell. Just trust in Him. Trust in the process. And sacrifice that time to spend with just you and Him. Because you will never, ever regret it. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, babe. Good job. Good job. So anyway, like I said, you'll be hearing some other people sharing their stories, and they're all very powerful. Now I have the very respectable pleasure to introduce somebody that honestly, if it wasn't for her and her better half, doing what they did, this class probably wouldn't be here. I mean, really, they were trailblazers, set the foundation for every single, the table host, all the leadership that are making this possible. It wouldn't be without them. And, you know, with her, I mean, when you're looking at the boxes of, you know, empowering, great presenter, a leader, I mean, when you look at all those boxes, it hits every single box. And when it comes down to this being a treat, if you're asking, is this going to be a treat? The answer is, for sure. For sure. Without further ado, here's Sonia.
That guy is a mess. You can't trust him. Oh my gosh, he's such a mess. Well, thank you. I am excited to be here tonight. I absolutely love Encounter because I have seen so many lives changed through Encounter. Don't know what brought you guys here, but I can tell you, you've been set up. You've been set up by the Holy Spirit regardless of what you think got you here. It may have been a friend or somebody on the team stalked you, harassed you, begged you, whatever. But I'm going to tell you, you got set up by the Lord. I ask you to come with an open heart. Lay down your preconceived notions. Lay it all down and say, okay, God, here I am. You know, I prayed a prayer when I was 31 years old. I wasn't raised in the church. And I prayed a prayer. I didn't even know how to pray. But I just said, God, if you're real, show me you're real. Because I think these people are cuckoo birds. I don't know any of them, but I think they're weird. But if you are real, I need you to show me that you're real. And can I tell you, God showed up, showed out, and absolutely rocked my world. I'm 48 now, so it's been several years. But I'm telling you, lay down the preconceived notions and say, God, show me you're real. And he'll be faithful. So my husband and I flipped a home. We bought a home several years ago, flipped a home. How many of you guys have watched HGTV? Fix it. Okay, a couple of us watch it. Come on now. I know y'all watch HGTV, Fixer Upper, Property Brothers, things like that. Well, it's nothing like that. They're liars. That is so fake. I love the shows and I still watch them, but that is not my experience with flipping a house. It was more like, it's going to test my marriage, test my Christianity, and all of the above. But can I tell you, we made it. We're still married, and I'm still saved. Praise God. But the house that we bought was a hot mess. It was rough. And basically, we had to gut it about 75% down to the studs. It had a cracked foundation. It needed all new electrical, plumbing, windows, roof, it basically needed everything. And so we had to put it all back together. What do you think we started with? What do you think the first thing was that we did with the renovations? Foundation. Oh, somebody's been watching HGTV or y'all flipped homes. Why did we start with the foundation? Because if I didn't start with the foundation, I could put the sheetrock back up, but it's going to crack again, right? The windows could crack. That pretty paint on the wall is going to get messed up. It's not going to function properly. See, there's a proper alignment to doing things. And when we do it in proper order, it will function as it's intended. Can I preach a little bit tonight? We will operate in proper alignment. And when we do, we're going to operate the way that God designed us. But there's a proper order. And that's what I want to talk to you guys tonight about is alignment. Just like the house, we had to start with the foundation and then everything else will function as it's intended. God created you in three parts. And when they're in proper alignment, you will function as God intended you to function. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Paul says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, that is, separate you from profane and vulgar things, make you pure, whole, and undamaged, consecrated to him, set apart for his purpose." Whose purpose? His purpose, not Sonia's purpose, but his purpose. "And may your spirit and soul and body be kept complete and be found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we're going to talk about the three parts of me, and I just shared it with you. There's three distinct parts that we're made up of. Number one, it's in your notes. It's spirit, and that's a part of us that's eternal. Number two is soul. That's our mind, will, and emotions. That is how I feel and what I think, which that's where most of us reside a lot of the time. And number three, the third part is body. That's the physical part of us, but it's also what we call the fleshly side of us sometimes. So we're made up of these three parts. We must consistently be in proper alignment to function as God intended us to do. So I'm going to share with you guys what it looks like to be in proper alignment and out of alignment. So what needs to lead us? What should be number one? Spirit. And good luck if you can read this. I am not a school teacher and I'm horrible. And what is that? That's our eternal part, right? Okay. So our eternal part, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. That's what we're talking about when we say the Spirit. The Spirit needs to be leading us, number one. Okay, so how do we allow the Spirit to lead us? When I say I need to be led by the Holy Spirit, what does that look like for me? What does it look like when I say I need to be led by the Spirit? I need to be listening to His voice. I need to be submitted to the Holy Spirit. You know, I used to think that submission was an ugly word because I was a single mom of three kids for 11 years, and I was this tough, independent woman. And so I'm like, submit my what? You must have lost your mind. I ain't submitting to nothing. And all the strong-willed women said, you ain't supposed to amen that. I set you up. Submission is not a bad thing. Submission to the Holy Spirit is a beautiful thing. Submitting to the Holy Spirit means, God, your will, not mine. It means every day I'm going to lift up my palms and say, here I am, God. Help me, because I'm going to mess it up if I do it. So that's what I'm talking about, submission to the Holy Spirit. How do I submit to the Holy Spirit? Give me something tangible on what I can do if I submit to the Holy Spirit every day. Spending time with the low. So I can spend time in my word. Can I pray? I can pray. Those are things that will allow you to submit to the Holy Spirit. If I spend time in my word, if I spend time in prayer, if I spend time in worship, if I listen to good, solid biblical teaching on podcasts, worship music, that's submitting to the Holy Spirit. That's allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me and lead me. So that should be number one all the time. The Spirit needs to lead us. It needs to take control, but can only be done when we surrender. So then what should be after the Holy Spirit? Soul. And so that is our mind, will, and emotions, but that is basically how I think and how I feel. A lot of times we stay right there in how we think and how I feel, and sometimes I feel like throat punching someone. Thankfully, I don't do that anymore. I got saved, and it was in pieces. It was a process, amen? But we can't live right here on how I think and how I feel, because it's usually not good, okay? So Philippians 4:8 is a great scripture. It's not in your notes, but you can write it down. Philippians 4:8 is a scripture that really helped me, and it talks about our mind. It says, think on these things. Another translation says, fix your mind on these things, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is wholesome. Think on these things. And so we don't always have control over the thoughts that come, but I do have control over what I do with them. Sometimes the thought comes to throat punch someone, but I have to cast it out, because 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, no, girl, you can take every thought captive and command it to line up with Jesus, amen? So command that thought to leave, and don't think on those things, but think on what's lovely and pure. You don't have control over the thoughts that come, but you have control over what you do with them. 2 Corinthians 10:5 was a verse that changed my life. Joyce Meyer taught about the battlefield of the mind, and I thought, I am crazy. I try and pray, and I'm distracted, and I think this, and I think that. And then when I heard that scripture, I'm like, I have control over what? Jesus said, I gave you authority, and so I can take every thought captive. I've got to start feeding my mind the good things of God. So number one, we need to allow the Spirit to lead us. And then number two, the soul follows the Spirit, which is in submission to the Holy Spirit. And then number three, it's our body, which is the fleshly part of us and also the physical part of us. My God, I need help, right? That's horrible. God's word clearly teaches us that when we stay in this order, that's proper biblical alignment. That is proper biblical alignment. When we stay in that order, it's more easy to walk in the Spirit. Next week, we're going to do an entire teaching on walking in the Spirit that is absolutely going to change everything for you. But the way to do it is by staying in proper biblical order. Let's talk about some of the definitions. So what is alignment? That first blank in your notes says align. It means to arrange things so that they form a line or in proper position, or to change something so that it agrees or matches with something else. That second one is alignment, which is the proper positioning or state of adjustment of parts as a mechanical or electronic device in relation to each other, parallel to something. What do you think of when I say alignment? Alignment. Front end alignment. Do I have any mechanics in the house? Mechanics. What happens when I don't get my car aligned like I did for 100 years when I was young and too poor to do it and didn't even know what it was? I was trying to keep the lights on. But what happens when we don't get our car aligned? We are going to wear those tires out. How many tires did I buy? I was just too ignorant to realize it. But when we don't, ladies, when we don't get our cars aligned, you're going to wear your tires out more quickly. Not that there's men that don't do that, but I know that I'm guilty of doing that. When we don't get our vehicles aligned consistently, you're going to ruin your tires. There's going to be damage. Can I tell you spiritually, there's a lesson right there. When I don't stay in proper alignment consistently, that means over and over again, there's going to be some damage. There's going to be some problems that come from that. The last blank, it's spiritual alignment, is the process, which means it's ongoing, the process of becoming free from things that cause us to be misaligned with Christ, learning to walk and live like Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 talks about that. It says, whoever says he lives in Christ, that is, whoever says he has accepted him as God and Savior, he's talking about people that are saved, ought as moral obligation to walk and conduct himself just as he walked and conducted himself. So what this is saying is we must follow the example of Jesus by walking in obedience and staying in consistent alignment. I never want to be the Christian that can quote all the scriptures and sound real good and look real spiritual, but I'm not walking it out day in and day out. Amen? Let's not only quote the scripture, but let's walk it out every single day, because that's where we make impact in the kingdom. There's a lot of people that need to know the Jesus that we know, because there's only two places you're going at the end of life, and it's heaven and hell. And there's a whole lot of people that need to know what we know. Let us not just quote the word, but let us live it out. Walk in kindness and love and gentleness and humility. All those good things that the Bible talks about. Amen. So with talking about alignment, I want to show you guys what it looks like with a life out of alignment. So we talked about what it looks like to be in proper spiritual alignment, but I want to talk about just for a second what it's going to look like when we get this out of alignment. Okay, so if I am going to let the soul lead, which what's the soul? Mind, will, and emotion. It's how I think and it's how I feel. Which, like I said, that's a lot of where a lot of us live and how I live for a long time. So what this looks like, raise your hand, show me all the single ladies, all the single guys and ladies. Is it Beyonce up here? I know it's close, but whatever. So all the single folks in here, raise your hand if you are unmarried. Okay, don't look around. This is not the hookup set. This is not let's get a date or whatever. I just want to know who I'm talking to. Okay, so what this looks like when I let the soul lead is, for my single people, I start looking around at everybody else that's getting married, that's younger than me especially, that's younger than me. All the people, I'm thinking, man, when am I ever going to get married? And I start seeing all the posts on Facebook. If we have one more, you know, little surprise proposals, and I'm going to throw up if I see one more surprise proposal. If I see one more engagement ring, I'm going to vomit. You walk past Walmart, and you're looking at the wedding magazines, and you're just disgusted. But that's where you reign. So you're staying right here because you're thinking about, am I ever going to get married? Does anybody ever want to be with me? I mean, what's wrong with me? Am I not pretty enough? Am I too ugly? Do I not have enough muscles? Do I not have enough money? What is wrong with me? Why? I mean, I'm a good catch. Why don't they want to be with me? I don't know what's going on. And so you reside right here in the soul. And so then what happens is when you think on those things that are not good, pure, lovely, and wholesome, then you're going to move on down here, and the body is going to follow suit after the soul. And you've been thinking about being single for so long, and nobody's ever going to want to be with me. And then you start compromising. You start compromising your purity because you think you have to. Well, I mean, we go to church, right? What is it? Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. And so then you compromise your purity. And, you know, so many people think, what's the big deal? Well, it doesn't line up with Scripture. That's the big deal. And God's called us to walk in obedience. And God's word says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Can a young person walk in purity? Can an older adult walk in purity? You're dadgum right they can walk in purity. But how can they walk in purity when they let the spirit lead and not the soul and the body make decisions for them? But see, what it started is it was this thought that started contemplating and thinking, and they didn't cast that thought aside, and they hovered right there over those thoughts of, I'm never going to get married. You know what? You'll get married when God says you're going to get married. If you will line up right here, God will bring you exactly who you need to be with. Don't get in front of God or you will mess things up. And some of you are like, I'm not giving it up. I'm good. I'm good. I'm not doing anything. But then you end up compromising and marrying someone that don't even want to serve Jesus, doesn't even know Jesus, is called being unequally yoked. And then you want to cry to God, I don't know what you're going to do with him. Well, God didn't tell you to marry him. You got a bigger problem on your hands. Which, if we would stay right here, you wouldn't be in that problem. So all the married people, I am not going to let you off the hook. So what this looks like, being out of alignment for a married person, may look something like this. It doesn't look like this for anybody, but I can tell you experiences that I've either personally had or I know somebody. So a married person, when they're hovering right here and they're allowing the soul to lead the way, which is how they think and how they feel, it may look something like, my husband's been working a lot. He comes home late all the time. He barely answers my text messages. He comes home and then he doesn't even want to have conversation. He's just tired. He's exhausted. And so that mind starts playing a game. I don't even think he cares anymore. I don't even think he loves me anymore. What's wrong? I mean, I even put makeup on. I put my bra on today and he still didn't even look my way. Brushed my teeth and everything and he still don't want to look my way. And so this is playing over in her mind. He didn't even care about me anymore. I mean, I know we've been married a long time, but he just didn't even care. And the husband's thinking, I'm a great provider. I'm working hard to make my wife happy, provide for the kids, buy nice things. He's thinking, I'm a great provider. I'm doing a good job. I'm just emotionally spent. But mama's staying over here thinking there's a disconnect. He didn't even love me anymore. He didn't want to be with me anymore. And before you know it, she's ready to get a divorce over something that's gone on in her mind that's not even real. Yeah, he's working, but he's trying to provide for you guys. But there is a disconnect because you're hanging on right here and you're thinking about things and hovering on things that don't line up with Scripture. Talk to the man. Let's talk it out and see what's going on, but stop hanging out right here. Get right here. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God says, I'm going to talk to my husband and work this out, and I'm not going to run and listen to the things that the enemy's trying to cause to deceive me, to cause disunity. Are y'all tracking? And then on both of them, the spirit is down here like, hello, hello, here I am. Let me back in, let me back in. Let's see what it looks like when the body leads. gonna say, oh Lord, we in trouble now. So what it looks like when the body leads, and it happens, is mama's working a whole lot, and she has certain physical needs. You tracking? We don't have any kids in here. I'm being real. We always think it's the guys. It's not always the guys. But mama's like, hey, Big Daddy, mama can't live on bread alone. You know what I'm saying? And he's tired because he's been working overtime, and he's working 12-hour shifts, 14-hour shifts, and he's just tired. Or he's at that age to where things just change in life. But mama's like, hey, the Bible said, no, okay, no. But they're talking, they start focusing on this physical need. They start focusing on the physical need. And since Daddy's too tired, the guy at the gym is giving her a lot of attention. You know what I'm saying? A lot of attention. And as she's more focused on the physical needs and fulfilling her own physical needs, she ends up having an affair. Oh. Because she has justified the affair in her mind. And the spirit's still hanging out going, where am I in all of this? This may sound crazy to you, but if you think about it, you know somebody that has lived here and here. And this is a life totally out of alignment, which will lead to destruction. It will lead to death, a death. Maybe not a physical death, but a spiritual death, a relational death. When we reign here, listen, there's problems and there's death. So tonight, we're going to walk through this and try and unwrap it and help you understand it is critical that we remain right here and always allow the Spirit to lead us to really properly operate in the things that God has called us to operate in. Amen. So why is alignment important? Number one, this is in your notes. Alignment will motivate us to develop a disciplined life. Alignment will motivate us to operate in a disciplined life. So can you be a Christ follower and be undisciplined? This is a setup. It's a trick question. Can you be a Christ follower and undisciplined? Yes, you can. Can you be an effective Christ follower and be undisciplined? Not for very long. Not for very long. I want to be an effective Christ follower, not just a Christ follower. It's in your notes. Self-discipline does not set us free. Only Jesus can do that. However, to be effective Christ followers, we must learn to do our part and live a disciplined life. Luke 9:23, it says, and he was saying to them all, this is Jesus, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny himself is talking about self-discipline. We've got to operate. Jesus is saying, I need you to operate in self-discipline and take up your cross. That means sometimes it's going to be burdensome. Sometimes it's going to be difficult. Is it always going to be difficult? No. Sometimes, yes, it is going to be difficult sometimes. And it says, and follow me. That means follow Jesus's will, Jesus's plan for our life, not Sonia's plan for our life. We've got to operate in self-discipline. It's in your notes. God gives us the ability to exercise self-discipline. God gives us the ability to exercise self-discipline. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God didn't give us a spirit of fear or timidity. He gave us a spirit of power, love, sound mind, and personal discipline, the abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. You know, so many times I hear people say, and I've said it for years, I am not disciplined enough to get up and work out at 5 o'clock in the morning. I am not disciplined enough to put that pizza down or that donut down. I am not disciplined to do da, 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 da. And the Lord showed me one time, will you stop saying that hot mess? That is not true. I gave you the ability to walk in self-discipline. His word says right here, Sonia, I gave you the ability to walk in self-discipline. Now, it's up to you to walk it out. If I give JR the keys to my car, I've already given it to him. Now it's up to him if he wants to drive it or not. I got to find a little truck. I'd drive it. But anyways, same principle applies. God says, I give you the ability to walk in self-discipline. It's up to me to walk it out. Number two, alignment will provide a vital source of communication. When we're aligned with God, we can hear so much clearer from Him. When I have not spent enough time with the Lord, if I've not been resting right here in the Word, if I've not been really spending time in prayer, not just praying, Lord, bless my food, keep the calories away, amen, but I mean really spending time with the Lord, I just can't hear Him as clearly. When I spend more time with Him, I can hear Him, so it helps with the communication. John 10, 27 says, the sheep that are my own, they hear my voice and they listen to me. I know them and they follow me. James 1, 5 talks about if anybody lacks wisdom, if you are looking for clarity, for direction, for your life, James 1, 5 says, ask the Lord. He will give wisdom, and not only will He give it, He'll give it in abundance. But if I don't sit back and calm my mind down, I can't hear Him. If I'm not in alignment, I have a harder time hearing from Him. Staying in alignment will increase communication. Number three, alignment will provide a strong line of defense. A strong line of defense. Alignment with God is a strategic fighting position. But you're not doing the fighting. God is fighting on your behalf. In Exodus 14, it's where Moses is leading the Israelites out of Egypt, and the Egyptians are hot on the trail. Verse 14 says, the Lord will fight for you while you only need to keep silent, shut your mouth, and remain calm. Calm down. Calm down. Moses was in alignment with God, but the Egyptians were coming after him. But see, God was doing the fighting for Moses because he was in alignment. He had been in alignment. Was he perfect? No, but he got back into alignment. See, this Christian walk is not about perfection because you're never going to make it. There was only one perfect, and his name was Jesus Christ. But when we get out of alignment, let's get back on the path that God's called us to do. That's one benefit of staying in community. Coming to encounter, getting involved in groups, going to Grow Track, serving on a dream team. It helps you stay connected because, see, if I start getting over here, I've got some strong, godly friends that are going to get me back on track. I've got to surround myself with strong, godly friends, not just people that come to church. We need to be strong, godly people that can love each other enough to help us get back on track because sometimes I get distracted. Any ADD folks in there? We get a little distracted sometimes. I'm not, but I do get distracted. And so if you continue on in verse 15, God tells Moses, I'm going to do the fighting, but now you've got to do your part. It's funny, if you read the scripture, God says, why are you crying to me? Go. I feel like God says that to me sometimes. Girl, stop crying. Shut your crying up. Get your big girl panties on and go. There's a time for us to pray sometimes, but then there's a time that we need to get to action. So many times I've prayed for wisdom, and I've prayed for wisdom, but I stayed right in the same place. And God's like, if you would get up and go, you would see the door that I'm going to close or I'm going to open for you. God is saying sometimes you've got to go. Number four, alignment with God will bring freedom from a habitual lifestyle of sin. What I feed grows, and what I starve dies. What I feed grows, what I starve dies. I am not a gardener. I will kill everything in sight, so I know how to kill everything. So if I know how to kill everything, the opposite must be true. I kill things because I starve it. I don't water the plants. I don't feed the plants, and so they die. But what happens if we water and feed the plants and put them in the sun? They're going to thrive. That's what happens with our spiritual walk. What I feed, when I feed myself the things of God, when I continually pour in the things of God, it is going to flourish. It is going to be strong. It's going to take good roots. So if it does not line up with Scripture, I need to starve it to death, and it's going to die. Amen. When I consistently, this is in your notes, when I consistently align with the Word of God, I give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to guide me. Paul is teaching us in Galatians how to walk in freedom, which is done by walking in the Spirit. And you may say, I'm not in chains. I'm not in the county popo. I am free. No, there's a lot of us that are not free. We're hanging on to junk from our childhood. We're hanging on from past wounds. We're hanging on to past hurts. But God says, I can help you walk in freedom. It's a process. It's a journey. Let's go on this together. Encounter leads you to freedom. It's all in the Word of God. It's all by Jesus Christ. It's not by our hand. It's not by some cute teachings. It is only by Jesus Christ. But we've got to walk according to the Word. Paul says in Galatians 5:16, but I say walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. When? That means all the time. Every day I get up, I need to surrender to God. Walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek Him and be responsive to His guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desires of your sinful nature. You continue on in the Scripture, and it's talking about there's a fight between spirit and flesh. There is a fight all the time. But when you walk in alignment, the Spirit is always going to win. It's going to take the lead. Number five, alignment with God brings an unparalleled peace. Alignment with God brings an unparalleled peace. Did I say being a Christian brings an unparalleled peace? No. Coming to church does not bring an unparalleled peace. Alignment with God brings an unparalleled peace. See, the misconception is we look at the pastors sometime, or we look at those that are teaching, and you have a wrong idea of our life and what we've been through. Peace doesn't come from a lack of trouble. Peace doesn't come from the power of positive thinking, which I am the eternal optimist, but can I tell you, peace comes from alignment with God. See, you can walk through hell and back, which I have, that you don't know about. The pastors have walked through hell and back. You don't know their story. You just see the glory and think that everything is great. But can I tell you, when you're aligned with God, you can walk through hell and back, and you can still walk in a peace because of what Jesus did. Amen? Peace comes from alignment with God, regardless of what you are walking through. It's in your notes. Regardless of what you're walking through, when you are aligned with God, He will provide a peace for every circumstance. Philippians 4:7, Paul is in prison when he is writing. He is in prison when he's writing this. And he's not in the Angelina County popo where they got air conditioning and food every day. He is in the bottom. There's boo-boo down there. It's nasty. It's stinky. The toilet stuff runs down. It's disgusting. Paul is in the bottom of the prison. And this is what he says. And the peace of God, that peace that reassures the heart, that peace that transcends all understanding. That means it does not make sense to the natural mind that I can walk in peace while I'm walking through hell, but with God, I can do that. That peace which stands guard over your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, it is whose? It's mine. It's yours. That's the peace that he's talking about, but only comes from staying in proper alignment with God. Last point, number six. Alignment with God produces a fruitful life. A fruitful life brings a fulfilled life. Galatians 5:22 through verse 24 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how I act while I'm waiting, big difference. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and appetite. I have had more fun serving Jesus than I ever did, booty dancing up in the clubs, riding on yachts, riding on motorcycles, going to the races, all the stuff that by the world's eye sounds really fun. I've learned that fulfillment comes living a surrender life to God every single day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that your word is alive. I thank you that it brings dead things back to life, Heavenly Father. I pray over these students, this team, and I thank you that your truth is going to resound louder than the lies of the enemy. Continue to speak to our hearts tonight. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Miss Sonia. Very, very good stuff there. Was that good or what? That's really good stuff. You know, when I was sitting in the back there, I was even thinking to myself, right, we're talking about the alignment piece, and I don't know, as a guy, you're sitting there driving, I need to actually realign my vehicle. Think about how many times, right, when you're not aligned, and I occasionally do this just to see how out of line I am. I kind of let go of the steering wheel and just see if it's veering one way or the other. Kind of reminds you, right, of how important that alignment is, and that without any manual piece from my side, it starts going that way. How many times in our own lives the same thing happens, right? And then we think, okay, yeah, well, let me keep it steering here, but if I don't do anything to change that, it gets worse and worse until finally I'm sitting here holding it and trying to. But then if we just get it realigned with God, it doesn't require the manual labor to try to keep it straight, right? Even in our own lives. So, I mean, thank you again, Sonia, for reiterating that point. But anyway, so we got snacks. Anybody hungry for some snacks? Anybody ready for a quick break, bathroom break? Okay, so we got about 10 minutes, 10, 11 minutes. So get up, stretch, take your bio break, and be back here in 10 to 11 minutes. Thank you. Does the Spirit move among us? Well, thanks for sticking around. Let's go ahead and start making our way to our seats. Hopefully y'all are loaded up with food now. So, hey, and also for the guys, look, you know, I guess some of the ladies too. Everyone should be able to, I know as we're trying to regroup, now you got food on the stomach, so you can't go to sleep, okay? Number one. Number two, you can't be as distracted about the teams that are playing, okay? Because college, you know, A&M won, UT won, the Texans won, the Cowboys won. All the Texas teams have won, and there's no games. What's the thumbs down? Oh, we need to pray for protection on you, sir. That the wrath of the Lord does not come upon you. Whew. Okay. So now if we can just kind of, you know, refocus, you know, as you're chowing down your food and knowing that there's no other distractions out there, just kind of reconnect with what's going on. We've already had a good start, so let's finish off real good as well. So now I've got the real pleasure to introduce a very, very, very good friend of mine. Man, there's been a few times where I've been saying, you know, hey, Pastor Stephen, look, man, there's something I really want to do, and I know I shouldn't do it. I need you to talk me out of doing this, man. You know, he's been a great counselor and a great friend. And without further ado, I'd like to invite you to hear Pastor Stephen come up. Give him a big hand.
What's happening, Encounter? How you doing? Everybody's got snacks. You're good to go. Got your bellies full. Awesome. Wasn't that awesome with Miss Sonia? She just delivers and teaches with such anointing and just an awesome, awesome speaker. Just love hearing her teach every time she gets the opportunity to teach. And it's awesome to be with you guys tonight. And we're so proud of you guys. We love all of you and just so excited for what God's doing in your life right now that you're an Encounter. I say it all the time in Grow Track and groups and Encounter, but I am so thankful to be a part of a church that's so intentional about people growing, so intentional about people finding freedom. And discovering all that God's got for their life. And so we're just so excited for you guys. We're praying for you. And I know this is going to be an incredible semester that, yes, is going to stretch you a lot. But God's going to do some incredible things that you never could have imagined. And so glad that you guys are here. Well, let's jump right back in. Ms. Sonia did such an incredible job talking to us about what alignment is, why it's important. And so we're going to shift gears a little bit here, and we're going to talk about what does a life out of alignment look like, okay, in your notes. And so I'm going to jump right in here. Number one, a life out of alignment is stuck in habitual sin. Everybody say stuck. And it's so true. A life out of alignment is stuck in habitual sin. When you look at this word habitual, it can be described as this: regular, usual, doing constantly, or as a habit. And guys, when our life gets out of alignment, before we know it, before we blink our eyes, we can be stuck in some habitual things, some habitual sins, some things that are just unhealthy and outside of what God has designed for us. And that is not the life that God intended for us when we're outside of his alignment. Listen to the synonyms that we have here for this, okay? The idea of constant, persistent, continual, continuous, perpetual. Does any of this sound familiar? Maybe to your own life, or you've seen other people that are just stuck in a habit, stuck in a habitual place of sin, frequent, reoccurrent, repeated. It's not the place that we want to be. It's not the place that God designed us to be. But if we're not careful, when our life is out of alignment with God, we can slip into a habitual sin. And in Galatians chapter 5, Sonia already spoke to it a little bit, but in chapter 5 there, she read a couple verses before this one, but when you get to verses 19 and 21, Paul transitioned and he begins to talk about this idea of what a life out of alignment can look like, a life in habitual sin. It says, "Now the practices of the sinful nature are clearly evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, total irresponsibility, a lack of self-control." Right? Idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. A life out of alignment is stuck. It's stuck in habitual sin. Number two, people who are out of alignment hurt others because they are hurting. How many of you have met these individuals, right? Maybe you have them in your life. Maybe you were that individual at one time. But one of the most sad realities that I have learned through over 20 years of ministry and just in life, not just ministry, but in life, is that hurt people hurt people. I mean, that's just the truth. That's just the reality, unfortunately. People that are so out of alignment, people that are so hurting that they don't even realize it, but what they do is they end up hurting some of the most important people, precious people in their own lives. Hurt people hurt people. People hurt others physically. Maybe you've been a recipient, unfortunately, of people that are hurting, physical abuse, people hurting physically, verbally, emotionally. One of the things that I've seen a lot of times that people deal with is just even the emotional manipulation that comes from people who are hurt. They end up hurting other people. And so a life out of alignment can cause this. Number three, they suffer bad pain, wasted pain, right? What does a life out of alignment look like? Individuals that suffer bad pain, wasted pain. How is this? Why does this happen? It's because a life out of spiritual alignment is a life that embraces the practices of the sinful nature. And when we do that, guys, it comes with consequences, right? We just read that in Galatians chapter 5 in those verses, right? These consequences, they come with addiction. They come with broken marriages, broken relationships. They can come with loneliness and bitterness and hurtful cycles that never end because we keep looking in all the wrong directions to fill an emptiness that only God is going to fill. But we just keep trying. We keep trying to fill it with these other things, right? We can only be found in true alignment with our Heavenly Father. And these consequences, they come with scars. And a lot of us, this room is full of a lot of scars, right? Myself included. Is there forgiveness? Absolutely. But to live out of alignment is to bring bad pain, to bring wasted pain that if we would only have looked to the Lord to be our rescue and to be our help and to use the help that only God can give us and the right people. And I mean the right people, right? The right people that God brings into our lives, the right voices that God brings into our lives, then we could have avoided all that bad and wasted pain, right? Number four, They speak and they live under curses. They speak and they live under curses. They not just live under them, they begin to speak them. Maybe you've been there. You're just so wrapped up in it. You're so out of alignment. You're so far away from God that you begin to even speak it. You're not just living it. You're beginning to speak it. And so it's dangerous, a life out of alignment. Before we transition to the next section, I wanted to just kind of share something just from my heart in my own personal life where God showed me that life had gotten out of alignment. I'm a pastor, I'm a minister, and just because I have pastor in front of my name does not make me immune to sin, doesn't make me immune to messing up, doesn't make me immune to getting out of alignment sometimes and needing the Lord's help to get back into alignment, amen, right? I'm just like anybody else, and you know, for my life this summer, it's interesting because I felt like God was, I wanted to maybe share this last spring when I taught this very session with the Encounter group back in the spring, and I just didn't feel like I was supposed to. And then this summer, God kind of revealed some things and helped peel back the onion for me, some things that I had been dealing with for 20-plus years this summer, and it was incredible. And God just really showed me some things that I had not seen before. And now that he's shown me that, I just really wanted to share tonight a little bit from my heart and be a little transparent with you guys. You know, I grew up in a good Christian home. I was adopted. Many of you know my story of my adoption. It was all planned before I was born. But I grew up in Beaumont, Texas, adopted to a great family, but not a perfect family, right? Nobody has a perfect family. And I won't go into all the details, but my mom and dad, Larry and Pam Courtney, I grew up in Beaumont, and they, great people. My dad loved the Lord. My mom loved the Lord. They raised me in church. But my mom, once I got to be in about middle school, high school, I began to realize that something was going on with my mom. And I had no idea as a little child that my mom had struggled for years with depression, struggled with just so many different things. She was sexually abused as a child by her grandfather, and that kind of set some things in motion that she never really got the help. She never admitted it, never brought it to anyone to get the help that she needed. When she finally did as an adult, she went to see a Christian counselor who ended up just taking advantage of her on multiple occasions and took advantage of her in his office. And so it just continued to grow her depression and grow just the struggles that she was going through. And since then, I can tell you that my mom is at a much healthier place. But in junior high and high school, as a teenage guy, life was different for me. You know, in my home, I was the parent. My mom and my dad, they were kind of the kids. My mom was struggling so badly, multiple times tried to take her life, was just struggling with depression. Maybe you grew up in a home similar to that. I don't know. But for me, as a kid, a Christian kid who felt called to the ministry, I was just kind of in a situation where I didn't feel like I was ever able to be the teenager, right? And my mom, I knew she loved me, but there were many times she would look at me and say, Stephen, you're the only reason I'm staying alive. You're the only reason that I don't kill myself. Now, as a teenage boy, that's a lot for anybody to take on their shoulders, much less a teenage guy, a teenage boy. And I remember going through that. My dad is a good guy, but he just didn't know how to handle the situation. And I remember there were a couple occasions where she tried to take her life, and my dad would just break down. I remember one moment just being in the living room with my parents. We had found the letter that my mom had left, and my dad just breaks down crying. And there I am at 16, 17 years old trying to just keep everything together for dad and for mom. And nobody's getting any help. Nobody's doing what they should do to get help. Dad's not stepping in to get her help. It was just a bad situation. It culminated right before I left for Bible college when my mom, one day, I got home from work and I was working a couple jobs, and my mom had, she was in the other room, and honestly, I worked at a Beaumont Municipal Airport, and so I mowed and weeded, so I'm dirty, and I'm getting ready to take a shower, and all I have are on my jeans, and I hear my mom call from the back bedroom, and it just, there sounded to be like this panic in her voice. So I went to the bedroom to check on her, and she's laying on the bathroom floor, and her leg is bleeding just profusely, just bleeding all over the place. And I obviously grabbed some towels. I started to wrap her leg up. I said, Mom, what happened? She said, hey, that little vase over there fell off the counter. I went to stop it with my leg, and it cut my leg all the way down. I mean, she was cut from her middle thigh all the way down to her ankle on the inside of her leg, just bleeding like crazy. I picked her up, and I took her to the hospital. I got to the hospital. I remember just bringing her to the emergency room, and I had blood all over me. And then finally, as I sat there for a minute, I started to realize there's no way that little vase that had just a little, you know, broken top could have cut her that way if it fell. And I, you know, my dad got there a little bit later. He went and talked to the doctors. He came back and he said, "Son, you do know that she basically took that vase and ran it up her leg because she's just hurting so bad." And man, it was just, that was probably the lowest point. And I remember feeling called to go to Bible college in Missouri. I knew God had called me to be in ministry, but I didn't want to leave because I knew if I leave and my mom takes her life, I'm going to live with that the rest of my life. I can't let that happen, right? And she kind of manipulated me a lot of ways like that in my mind, and I grew up with that. I did end up going to college. In fact, God ended up using my birth mom. A lot of you know my story. She's just a godly woman. She spoke into my life, and she said, "Stephen, you need to go to college. You need to go after what God's called you to do." I ended up going to college, but I remember being in college when I finally got away. I had to get counseling and stuff just because my concern for my mom turned to my anger towards my mom, and I realized the life that I'd kind of grown up in. And later on in life, as I got married and I had kids and I was in the ministry, I just started to see that it had such a negative effect on me. And what I wanted to say, guys, is that it's so easy for the enemy to speak into your mind and get you out of alignment. And you start thinking according to, as Sonia said, your soul, like how you feel and what you think over what the Spirit's leading you to do and how the Spirit's leading you. And what I realized and what I discovered as I peeled back the onion, and it was really, honestly, even some things God showed me even just a couple months ago, is that my life was just gripped in fear because of this experience as a kid. My life was just totally gripped in fear. And for years, I struggled with the fear, number one, of not being loved because of my mom. I began to peel that back a little bit, and I realized, okay, I don't feel loved. And because I don't truly feel loved, right, then I'm going to hide. And I would hide a lot of the times. I would either hide, and then sometimes I'd go to the other extreme, and I would run towards, because I didn't feel loved, I would run to the other extreme, and I would look for love in all the wrong places. I would struggle with hidden sin for years, and I would try to fight it alone when really I knew that I would never defeat hidden sin without the Lord's help and being completely vulnerable and being transparent and having other people in my life. And I would not let the most important people in my life in because it went all the way back to those days when I was a teenager and I didn't feel completely, truly loved, right? Even this beautiful woman right here, my wife, Ellie, he brought her into my life, this gift that I didn't deserve. And it took me, I was fighting that because I thought, I don't feel truly loved. And I had to deal with that in my heart and in my mind. And this led to another fear, and that's a fear of just not being enough. Because I didn't feel truly loved by anybody, I didn't even realize that was going on. I didn't feel like I was good enough. And well, you know, people, well, they just must not love me because I'm just not good enough, right? And because I don't feel good enough, I struggled with insecurities. And I tell you what, fear just bred that insecurity in my life. I mean, just it bred it so much for many, many years. Because I didn't feel like I was good enough, I would get defensive even to the most precious people in my life. I would miss out on many things. I would get so tied up, and here's the dangerous part, because I didn't feel like I was good enough. Even just recently, in the last few years of ministry, I'm going to be honest with you, I would get so tied up in my accomplishments in ministry and success that I would wonder if anybody is going to ever really love me for who I am rather than what I do, even in ministry. Well, if I just do this well, if I just care for every single person, if I'm that nice guy and I do everything for everybody that I can do till I exhaust myself, man, if I just do all of that, then I'll be good enough. But it was never enough because I was totally out of alignment with what God was trying to show me, right? And then this led to a fear of failure in my life. Because I feared failure, I worried a lot, a lot. And because I feared failure, I didn't trust God all the times that I probably should have. I didn't trust even loved ones in my life and other important people. Because I feared failure, I didn't take the risk sometimes that I needed to take. And a lot of times I just played it safe because I feared failure. And so after a while, I had to realize, and I'm telling you just a couple months ago, I realized as I'm peeling this onion back that I realized, you know what, that it's just the lies of the enemy. And I just want to encourage you guys today that after a while, you have to stop listening to the voice of the enemy, and you have to entrust, and you have to embrace the truth. And that's why you have to be led by the Spirit. And you have to be led by the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, Because that's what speaks real truth into your life. And I had to embrace the truth. I had to remember that my identity is in Christ, just as you guys talked about last week. And I had to learn that again. And I had to get everything realigned. I had to stop living in fear, and I had to accept the truth. And the truth is this. Here's the truth for all of us tonight. Perfect love casts out all fear. And I'd heard that verse for so many years. Until June, a couple months ago, sitting in our little quadplex over here, God just hit me upside the head with it. Stephen, don't you understand? You don't have to be fearful anymore. Perfect love casts out all fear. 1 John 4:18, right? I am loved. And guys, you are loved. You are loved by a God who loves you more than you could ever imagine. And you always have been. And I had to realize I always have been, right? I just allowed those tough years with my mom and my family to convince me that I was not loved and that I was not good enough. But the truth is, because I am loved, I can love the way that God wants me to love. I can love people the way He really wants me to love them. I can love this woman the way God intended me to love this woman and to love my kids the way I'm supposed to, right? Because we are loved. I can love like Jesus. I can love the love of Jesus, that perfect, unfailing, unwavering, unending love of Jesus is more powerful than any fear that we have. And so I just share that with you guys, that that's how easy the enemy can get into our lives and speak lies to our lives, and we can get so completely out of alignment from what God intended for our lives. You know it? Well, let's go on to this next piece. What pulls us out of alignment? And what we're going to do is we're going to kind of compare this to your vehicle. You know, as you're driving your vehicle and this idea of getting your car out of alignment. What happens when your car gets out of alignment? Anybody? Starts pulling. What else? What are the consequences? Shaking? Anything else? Cost you a lot of money, right? It can cost you new tires. It can cost you taking it up to get it repaired and go see our guys here that are mechanics. You're going to have to go see them. Going to spend some money, right, when your car gets out of alignment. It becomes difficult to keep the car driving straight, increases the risk of tire damage, and increases the risk of accidents even if we're not careful, right? So when we drive, we got to be cautious. We got to be careful of the potential dangers that are out there that can get our vehicles out of alignment. So we're going to look at that for a second and compare it back to our own lives as believers, okay? Potential dangers to our alignment. Here you go. Number one are potholes, right? How many of you have driven down the road and you just, man, a pothole comes out of nowhere and you just think your car just fell apart and you just lost an entire wheel because of the giant pothole in the road, right? What is a pothole? It's an unexpected, right? Unexpected, come out of nowhere, big old hole in the middle of the road. And whether they're little or they're big, they eventually mess up the alignment in your car and in your vehicle. And so, just like that, though, there's spiritual potholes in our life, right? Unexpected news that comes our way, right? From a doctor, from someone else that we care about, whatever it may be. Tragedy, loss of a job, rejection, betrayal, or abandonment by someone that was close to you, right? We have these spiritual potholes that come into our life. Anybody ever experienced those? I think we all have, right? And Isaiah 41:10 reminds us, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Guys, I wish I could tell you that now that you've gone through Encounter, you're going through Encounter, and now that you're following Jesus, that you're never going to experience potholes. But it's not going to happen. I'd be lying to you. It's going to happen. You're going to hit these spiritual potholes in your life. They're going to happen. We don't have this perfect life after we come to know Jesus, right? These things are going to happen. But I love Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says this, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart." And here's the part, "Lean not on your own understanding." Because here's the deal, guys. You get unexpected news, it's going to happen. Tragedy is going to happen. Loss is going to happen. And guess what? You can't lean on your own understanding. Why? Because it's limited. You're just not smart enough. You're limited. I'm limited. We all are limited. But we can trust in God because He's faithful and He's true and He's going to help us through those times. It goes on to say, "In all of your ways, submit to Him and He will make your paths straight." So no matter what spiritual potholes come, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. He's going to lead you through it. God doesn't guarantee us a trouble-free life, but He does promise to help. He does promise to provide us a way out. No matter what happens, he's going to help us. He's going to walk through it with us. And he's going to surround us with people who are going to walk with us, who have been through it, right? And that's why community and connection is so important. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Number two, another thing that happens with when you're driving down the road, right, is not just the potholes, but you can hit curbs and run into medians. Anybody ever done that? Anybody want to admit that you do that on a consistent basis? How many ladies do that? How many men do that? Wow, more men, okay. There are two pastors on our staff. I'm not going to name any names, but I think they constantly are hitting curbs and medians, Pastor Talia, Pastor Jeremy. I'm almost unsafe driving with them. Am I right, Taylor? It's scary. I think Pastor Talia blames it on the big vehicle that she drives, but I don't know. I mean, she's always hitting curbs, running into stuff. But curbs and medians, they're obvious. Hello, right? They're obvious to us on the road. As we're driving down the road, there's these visible boundaries that keep you and I safe, and they keep you going in the right direction, and they keep you from running into others, running into buildings, running into signs, whatever it might be, right? Well, just like that, there's these spiritual curbs and medians, right, that God puts in our life, but we just ignore them sometimes, or we don't think about it sometimes. But check this out. There's healthy habits that we can take on, that we can put in action in our life. Avoiding too much of things that could become addictions. Setting boundaries in entertainment, relationships, avoiding places or people that tend to bring temptation to sin. That's the harsh reality, guys. As you grow in your relationship with the Lord, there may be people you need to just avoid altogether. They may even be family members that you just have to put boundaries and say, you know what? It's not worth it. That's not healthy. I just felt a big release from some people in the room. They're like, yes, I got permission from Pastor Stephen to get those people out. No, but seriously, I mean, we just have to put boundaries up. And sometimes it's places, it's people, it's relationships. We have to be careful. 1 Corinthians 6:12, Paul says this, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. And so, guys, there's some things that you got to stop doing. But I enjoy that, I know. But if that's not healthy and it's getting you out of alignment, true alignment with God, then it's not worth continuing in that, right? I have a right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything, it says. Let God be your master 100% and not let anything else around you or anyone else be that master, amen? Number three, failure to have routine, consistent checkups and maintenance. Now, you're with your vehicle. Things we know we should do, but sometimes we don't take the time to do them, like oil changes, right? Checking the tires, rotating the tires. These are simple things to do, but they require what? Intentionality and a commitment, right? Just the other day, brought our van, had to get the oil change in it, right? If I don't do that, Chris Henson back there took good care of me over there at Southern Chrysler. But we have to do those things with our vehicle, or our vehicle's gonna be in some bad shape. But here's the deal, just like that, in our life, in our relationship with the Lord, spiritual routines and maintenance are so important to us, guys, and they help keep us in spiritual alignment. Daily time with God, guys, don't neglect it. Spiritual disciplines, attending Timber Creek or any other local church, right? Participating in Next Steps, Grow Track, Encounter, like you're doing right now, groups, serving on a dream team, telling others about Jesus. It takes these spiritual routines and maintenance. And guys, you got to begin to think through that. You got to have a game plan. If you don't have a game plan, you're not going to put those things into place. You're not going to grow. You're going to get out of alignment. It takes some intentionality. You got to put these things to play in your life. My daughter, Natalie, she's 13, and she swims. And this girl, she's been swimming for 4 years. She now swims sometimes at 5:30 in the morning till 7, and then sometimes she goes in at 4 and practices till 6. She's doing 3,000 or more yards of swimming per day, and it's just that consistent routine, that commitment, that intentionality that she becomes a better and stronger swimmer all the time. And it's the same thing in our relationship with the Lord. It's that consistency that makes us grow in the Lord, abiding in Jesus. You have to spend extravagant time with Jesus. And here's the deal. Are we asking the right question? The question isn't, God, where do I fit you in today? Or where do I fit you in this week? Don't give God your tired, rundown leftovers. That's what we do all the time. I'm guilty of it too. Let's not do that. The question we should be asking is, God, what do I need to do? What do I need to sacrifice so that my day revolves around you and I stay in spiritual alignment with you every single day? Craig Rochelle said this, small disciplines done consistently lead to big results over time. I love that quote. That's so true. That's so true. So how do we live in alignment? Let's jump through this. We learn to walk in the Spirit. That's how we live in spiritual alignment. That's how we live a life in alignment, right? Next week's teaching, as Sonia said, you're going to learn even more. You're going to go deeper on this. It's going to be incredible. But going back to Galatians chapter 5, we've been going there a lot tonight. We read verses 19 through 21, and we read that long list of those practices of walking by what? Walking by the sinful nature, the selfish, sinful nature, right? Walking in our flesh. Now let's look back at Galatians chapter 5 and pick up in verse 22. It begins in verse 22 with this conjunction. It says, but, right? The Apostle Paul, he shifts gears here with this conjunction, and he shows us what a life in the Spirit truly, truly looks like. A life in alignment. What does this look like? It looks like this, and how it contrasts with a life that is out of alignment. And he uses this example of fruit to describe the Christ-like character that he wants all of us to display. That it's produced, it's developed when our lives are in true, true alignment. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Here we find what a life of alignment truly looks like, right? Remember, guys, Sonia spoke about this earlier. What you feed will live. What you starve will die. And only you can answer that right now. You've got to look at your life. You've got to look at some things. And for some of us, that's some tough decisions that we've got to make. Some things, we've got to sacrifice some things. We've got to stop doing some things, and we've got to begin to starve those things because they're not life-giving relationships. They're not life-giving to me to do that, to watch that, to act in that, or whatever it may be. And then we've got to begin to pick up some other things that are life-giving, that are going to get me back in right alignment with God, and they're going to grow because they're healthy. And that's spending time with Jesus. That's spending time with him, doing things like Encounter, getting connected with other people, and growing in your relationship with the Lord. So what you feed will live, and what you starve will die. Spiritual alignment is a process. Let me just say this kind of to finish up, guys. It's a process. It's not going to happen tonight as you walk out of this room, right? It's a process of becoming free from the things that cause us to be misaligned with Jesus Christ, right? It is the process of learning to walk and live like Jesus. And that's not easy, and it is a process. You know, there's the promise, and then there's the payoff of a lot of things, right? Of this, a relationship with the Lord. But there's also a lot of things, right? Everybody realizes that. There's the promise of something, right? There's the promise of something in the future that's going to be really, really great, and we get all excited about the promise of something, don't we, right? This has been promised to you, or this is going to happen, or you're going to work hard towards this goal, and there's the promise of obtaining that goal or whatever it may be, all right? A promise is a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing, and that particular thing's going to happen, right? There's the promise. We get real excited about the promise, and of course, we get excited about what? The payoff. Right? There's the promise and the payoff. The payoff is always nice, right? You ever paid off debt? Anybody ever paid off a home? I'll put my hand down. Hadn't done that yet. But, I mean, that's nice, right? You know, that feels good, right? There's the promise, and then there's the payoff, and both of those feel good. But a lot of times we forget about what's in the middle. We forget about the process. And sometimes the process is difficult. Sometimes the process is hard. And there's potholes, right? And there's medians, and there's moments, there's fender benders, there's moments, there's times that in that process it gets difficult, it gets challenging. And what we forget about is we overlook the process in the middle. And spiritual alignment is a process. And my heart for you guys tonight is that you would be patient with that process. Be patient with it. God is teaching you things. Soak up all that God is doing in Encounter for your life right now. There's going to be more that God's going to do over the next few weeks. And just be open to it. Be open to what God's saying to you. During the week, go back through your notes and pray over them and ask the Lord to continue to speak to you. Be patient with this process of who you're becoming. Because the deal is, we're all becoming. We never, till we're with Jesus in heaven, right, we're still becoming. I'm still becoming. We all are, right? And it's a process. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord does not delay, he says, as though he were unable to act, and he's not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is extraordinarily patient towards you. I love that. I'm so thankful God's patient with me because I'm a knucklehead. I mean, I just mess up. Ask this lady right here. And I'm just so thankful that God is patient with me, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance, it says. Thankful for God's unbelievable patience with us. Amen? All right, so what we're going to do, guys, on page 40 of your booklet, we talked to you tonight about what alignment is, why it's important, what gets us out of alignment. And so we want you to take about 10 minutes tonight. I believe we're going to turn on some music. And right there at your seat on page 40, and I'm going to pull it out here real quick, of your appendix, it's questions for reflection on alignment. You've got five questions there, five really good questions that we want you to take time at your seat, and we want you to think through those and begin to write these things. Nobody's going to take these from you tonight. You're not going to turn them in. You know, this is between you and God. But my heart is that God's spoken to you through whatever Sonia said, maybe something I've said, but God is speaking to you about getting in right alignment with God. And maybe by seeing what Sonia wrote up here tonight, you're just like, wow, man, I've just really got things out of whack right now. And so as you go through these questions, just think through them and pray over them. Take about 10 minutes, reflect on those questions, and I'm going to come back and we're going to do something else, okay? You are my sanctuary. All right, guys. Well, hopefully you were able to do that for a little bit. If you didn't finish it, I'd love for you guys to take that with you. And as you're taking time this week to kind of look back through the notes and spend time with the Lord, go back to that. Revisit what you wrote. Maybe you want to continue to write this week on that. You know, I just want to encourage you guys. We're gonna break up here in just a minute at your tables, too, and do something. But I just want to encourage you guys. A lot of times, you know, for me, it was just listening to the lies of the enemy for years. And when you get right in alignment, you know, you just have to stomp out the lies of the enemy. You begin to listen to the voice of the Lord through His Word. If you spend time with Him, the Word of God begins to become louder. And you get in right alignment with Him, and you start spending extravagant time with the Lord. The lies become less and the truth becomes louder in your life and in your heart and your mind. I just want to encourage you guys with that. But what we want you to do right now is just kind of at your tables. There's a question that we wanted to give you for you guys just to kind of discuss at your table. And that's this. What can I do this week to get realigned or stay in proper biblical alignment? What are some small steps? Because to me, it's about a game plan. You know, it really is. You got to have a game plan on whatever that you're moving forward on. And for some of us, maybe you're hearing something like this for the very first time tonight. You don't even know where to start. We've given you some great tools, but maybe as a table, just discuss that at your table. Again, what can I do this week to get realigned or stay in proper biblical alignment? Just discuss those things with each other, and then Zane's going to come back and close it up.
Okay, guys and gals, if you can, real quick, I see a lot of good discussion going on, so I appreciate y'all following along with the process of everything we got going on. What, anybody like this teaching? Yeah. Show of hands. Pretty good, huh? Thank you to Pastor Stephen, Miss Sonia, appreciate everything y'all are doing. And guys and gals, just please, you know, what I'd ask is there might be some more discussions that are going on with your group leaders. Please, we encourage that, and that's fine, even sharing amongst your team members, but if we can, just kind of get up and start. Y'all are dismissed. We appreciate everybody coming. And again, just be thinking about within the topic of what we brought up, you know, what are some ways that we can be more spiritually aligned? Some things, and I would like to emphasize one thing that Pastor Stephen brought up. For one week, right? We're not saying, you know, hey, you got to go full-blown, you know, put it in writing in stone or anything. We're talking about just 1 week. What's 1 week, some things we can do to be more spiritually aligned than what we are right now, right? Some of it might be just listen to praise and worship music instead of 95.5, right? Just saying. Some of them might be, you know, hey, rather than eating what I want to, I kind of think about, you know, maybe I need to do something there, be more fasting along with this process, and we'll talk about that later on. But just you know, you know what's in your heart and what's in your mind, right, of ways that you can improve and things that you can do to be more aligned, and share with your group leader and say, hey, this is something I'm thinking about doing. Does this make sense, right? Let your group leader even kind of confirm you or say, hey, yeah, there might be, let's look at some other options or something like that. Have that discussion with them, right? Have that accountability partner to partner up with you through that, right? Everybody good? All right, let's pray real quick. Father God, we thank you so much for the teaching that we heard today. God, it was empowering, it was clear, it was transparent, and God, it came from you. Father, we pray that we take what you taught us through the vessels of Pastor Stephen and Miss Sonia, God, that we applied into our lives this week, God. And we thank you for what you're going to do this evening in protecting us and keeping us safe on the way back home, God, and what you're going to do in our lives throughout the rest of this week. We give you all the praise and the glory, and we say it in Jesus' name, amen.